This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027 in Gauteng and FMR in Cape Town.
We continue our focus on the GDP print today for the third quarter, looking at it from the supply and the expenditure side of the economy. On the supply side, there does seem to be a quite broad-based recovery off that low base, as Ian Cruickshanks referenced earlier. Strong positive contributions coming from your manufacturing, from transport and storage and communication services, and the likes of finance, real estate and business services. On the negative side of that equation, electricity, gas, water and mining are certainly the places where we're seeing value contracting in the economy. On the expenditure side, we do see an improvement in gross domestic expenditure, which rose by 3.2% quarter on quarter. That's after shrinking by almost 3% in the second quarter. Well, I've got a couple of economists by early training on the line. Certainly Dr. Elna Mulman, economist at Standard Bank, is, and Nazmira Muller, who is Deputy MD of Investec Asset Management. I don't know what you call a couple of economists. Is it on the one hand or on the other hand? A hand of economists, maybe. Dr. Mulman, you can kick us off. The recovery here was mainly driven by renewed consumer spending on the expenditure side. We also saw a strong build-up in inventories. We saw steady growth in government consumption expenditure. And in sharp contrast, we see the slump in fixed investment, and that's just deepening. So companies are still unwilling to invest. This must be a real concern.
Absolutely. So I would say today's data is somewhat encouraging insofar as we've ended the recession and it was somewhat positive, even if some of this positive growth was really just base effects, in other words, almost a recovery from very negative growth rates in specific areas of the economy. So there are two factors that still really worries me. The one is the measure of compensation of employees. In other words, even if we're very optimistic about policy reforms in general, et cetera, that will ultimately boost employment growth and firms' capacity expansion and fixed investment, for now, we think that the consumer will still have to carry economic growth in the next coming months. And the compensation of employees measure has slowed quite dramatically. So at the end of last year, the growth was still kind of just more than 8% year on year. Now we're looking at just more than 5% year on year. So just more than inflation. So that is a real concern because it threatens one of the few short-term drivers that we have for growth. And then, as you've pointed out, the fixed investment story. On the one hand, the private sector fixed investment story is still one of contraction. In other words, another 4% contraction that we saw here. So private sector fixed investment levels are now about 8% below their recent peak. And then, of course, what we also saw in these numbers is a contraction in the infrastructure spending, particularly by the SOEs. Understandably, but it still has a negative impact on these numbers. So those are the two factors that really concerns me in terms of the medium-term growth outlook.
And Nazmira, to bring you in on that, it does raise another question about that rate hike last week, which you have deemed as unfortunate. And I must say, quite a few of the usually rather diplomatic bank economists and analysts came out and were rather critical of that Saab decision to hike. Even though it was a small margin, it does a lot for confidence.
Michael, I was concerned around the grounds for the hike. I have an enormous respect for the Reserve Bank. I think our Reserve Bank governor is one of the best in the world. So let me put that disclaimer up front. Having said that, our inflation projections are significantly lower than the Reserve Bank's, and I think you're going to see theirs falling as they get to January. Their numbers fell between September and November, and despite that, they felt that they needed to hike rates in a decision that was clearly quite contentious within the Reserve Bank. It was a 3-3 decision, so quite a split decision on that side. What I'm hoping is that the Reserve Bank sees this as a preemptive move, that yes, U.S. rates are going to be rising, the interest rate differential between South Africa and the U.S. cannot expand too dramatically over the course of the next year, so that there would have been some need to move rates higher at some point. But I'm hoping that they've done this and that they now feel that they can stay on hold for some extended period of time, provided the inflation dynamics remain positive.
Looking at it from the budgetary perspective of where we find ourselves at the moment. We know our debt to GDP figure is alarming. There are some structural issues around that. But Dr. Mulman, back to you here. Do you think this rather surprising number on the upside at 2.2% at least alleviates some pressure on the budget?
At least in the short term, so this number was in line with our expectations. We were a little bit more optimistic than the consensus about today's number. What we also do is track the monthly tax revenue data very carefully. And I have to say, so far, it seems as if that is still kind of on track to meet the latest forecast. So we have a disappointment in the M2EPS, but at this stage, the tax revenue data is not signaling that there should be any further disappointment, at least from the tax revenue side. We are still concerned about many other risks on the spending side in particular, but at least the revenue still seems to be holding up reasonably well. We are still concerned about growth. So even though today's numbers are encouraging, 2019's growth, I think, is still a little bit concerning.
Nazmira, what are you forecasting or predicting for growth over the medium term, over the next 12 to 24 months?
I think fixed investment, particularly private sector fixed investment, is going to determine the growth outlook on a 24-month outlook. So early next year, there is some room for consumer spending. I'm also concerned on the slowdown on compensation that Elna talked about. However, I think there's room for the consumer, if confidence is regained, to spend some of the cash that they've been accumulating over the last couple of years. Household cash balances are about 3 percentage points of GDP above the long-term average. And there's some room for the consumer to take on debt. So get consumer confidence going, I think you can see some consumer spending increase next year. But beyond a couple of months, you need to see fixed investment. And the only way you see fixed investment is what your previous speaker was speaking about, Michael. You need regulatory certainty in order to get businesses investing. And right now, we don't see that coming. There's been small incremental wins from the government, but not enough as yet.
Talk to me about the one really contentious issue, Nazmira, around regulatory certainty. And Dr. Mulman, you can come in after that. Land. And we saw Parliament take us one step closer to amending Section 25 of the Constitution. It has been put by those proponents of that policy decision that we actually are going to get greater certainty. So we'll have more clearly defined and articulated circumstances under which just and equitable might mean zero in certain circumstances. Do you buy that?
I think that if you take a good reading of the Constitution, currently the amendment wasn't needed for expropriation without compensation, simply because the government is allowed to affect that and under there are five different circumstances the Constitution allows for, one of which is the use for which the expropriated land would be used for, or the circumstances in which the land was acquired. So I think a lot of what is being played out right now is politics. And I think the solution to the land issue in the medium term is for an expedited process around using government land in urban areas for low-cost housing. I think that's what people want, Michael. At the end of the day, people want housing closer to where they work. Government owns 20% of the urban land in the country, and I think that there's a solution there if we can start to look at that. But if we don't, then we're going to get more and more push for legislative recourse, which isn't the solution.
Dr. Mulman, the famous Bob Dylan song springs to mind. The times, they are a-changing. Are they a-changing?
I think the problem right now is everybody can see the potential, and I think everybody agrees that we're in a better space now than we were, say, 12 or 18 months ago, and there's a lot more hope. But unfortunately, there is still a little bit of uncertainty, and I think there will be more certainty probably towards the second half of next year. I think we're unfortunately in the six-month period or so where we're waiting for the elections, and then we're waiting for the first signs after the election to see how much traction there is with policy reform. So, yes, people are very hopeful, and we hope things are changing and everything is lining up for continued improvement relative to where we were previously. But unfortunately, if you have to make a very long-term commitment, it's difficult to make it right now until you are at the point where you are a little bit more certain about some of these factors.
Dr. Alna Mullman, economist at Standard Bank, and Nazmira Muller, Deputy MD of Investec Asset Management.